Welcome, everyone, to episode 9 of The Bon Bon Show. Today is June 8th, 2025. I am one of your hosts, Aaron. Today, we just wanted to have a casual chat about one of our favorite modes of transportation to get around Japan, the beautiful and amazingly fast Shinkansen, also known as the bullet train. Woohoo! Both Kirk and I have had our fair share of Shinkansen trips over the years, and we've just been craving to chat about our recent trips, geek about the various trains we love to travel on, and just share some random stories with you.
Yes, so longtime readers of my blog over at jamaipanese.com would know that I'm a huge fan of the Shinkansen. I think it's the single most recurring topic that I've blogged about on my blog for, almost 20 years of my blogging journey. So today I am super excited to have an unscripted chat with my pal Aaron about the bullet train. Let's go.
Yeah. Yes, most excited. And I think it being the most talked about and most written about topic on your blog is perfect. I couldn't think of a better one to have. So good on you for for that.
Yeah, even before coming to Japan, I feel like the bullet train was just like one of the many things. Yes, there was anime and video games and tech stuff and cars, but like I've always just been so fascinated about the train system overall in Japan, and the Shinkansen is like right on top of that pile, you know what I mean? The premium of trains in Japan. Yep.
I think for me, it started out a little bit different. I didn't have, I guess, the awareness or maybe even the interest at the time about the trains in Japan. I remember my kind of first introduction to trains was when I went to Europe for the first time. I think after my first year of university, me and some buddies went to Europe and we did the train Euro trip because that was like what you did when you were in university. So that was my first introduction to trains and learning how timetables worked and night trains and, you know, all of that fun stuff and just learning on the fly. And I think it was after that trip, that I was like, oh, trains are awesome. I just like really loved that experience, especially like in Canada, not really having anything like the equivalent. I mean, we do have trains here, but they're nowhere near as popular or as convenient or as well used as they are in other parts of the world. But even then, I think while I loved that experience, I never really thought or knew much about how that went down in Japan. And maybe like you have alluded to, you kind of had some interest previous to ever going. So that was a little bit different for me. So I think it took a trip to Japan to finally for that like love of trains to finally like, I guess, appear from its cocoon and blossom into amazingly beautiful Shinkansen, densha, resha, butterfly, where I was like, oh, this is something I really, really, really like want to enjoy more and more of. And yeah, became one of the reasons why I like going to Japan now. I guess, how did it start for you, Kirk?
It's interesting how you talked about like your own experience going to Europe and, you know, not having trains in or decent trains in your area in Canada. For me, there was a passenger train system back in Jamaica. I guess when, let me not say before I was born, but like there was a terrible accident and many people died, and they just basically shut down the passenger train service in Jamaica. I remember there was, when in my early career when I was in the Jamaican government, there was talk with the Japanese government to kind of revive the train system in Jamaica, but I don't think that went anywhere. But basically, yeah, my first experience like as a passenger on a train was in New York, and I don't want to be negative, but that was a terrible experience going on the trains in New York. It
Yeah.
was loud and dirty, and there was like a couple people living in some of the train carts. Everything was just, I felt like, I don't know, from the 1970s, I felt like New York got trains and then they just never upgraded or did anything to the train stations were dark and dingy and smelled like sewage. So I was like, oh, I don't know about this train thing. But then when
That's
I went
fair.
to Japan, our learning about the train system in Japan, I was just like, wow, this is quite interesting. You know what I mean? And it kind of synced with my love of photography as well. So that was also
Ah, yes.
another thing that I wanted to do. But yeah, when I know this episode is about the Shinkansen, but I remember arriving in 2011, my first trip to Japan, arriving at Narita Airport and jumping on the Narita Express, and it was just like, wow, that train has been my first love of trains since. It's not a Shinkansen, but that's just like how I got hooked on trains in Japan, like in person, other than reading about stuff or watching documentaries. It's a different experience to be there. And then I just got knee deep into Japanese train stuff. And of course, as I said earlier, the top level of Japanese train geekdom is learning about and riding and experiencing the Shinkansen, which I have done dozens of times in my years living here.
Yeah, I think you've probably ridden the Shinkansen way more than I have.
Yeah, I think you might have ridden more lines, maybe in a wider area, while like the main spine from Tokyo to Hakata, I think is the what is where I've traveled on mostly.
Yeah, so you've probably been on the what, the N700 probably the most,
Yeah,
like Nozomi
definitely.
and yeah.
By far the most. I've been on a couple of the slower ones, like Sakura and a couple others, but like, I don't know, I feel like 60% of the time I'm on the N700 between Hiroshima, now that I'm living in Hiroshima and Tokyo, or and I used to go to Fukuoka or Osaka, Kyoto, what's that? Nagoya, like these places are where I'd go for meeting up friends or work or stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I think it was back in 2017. We took a trip, my wife and I, to Hokkaido, and we kind of wanted to do like a Tohoku, like a Northern Japan style trip, where we kind of just jumped on the Shinkansen from Hakodate. So it was by the time that the Shin Hakodate station had been built on the Shinkansen line, which is currently the still most northern stop on the Shinkansen route. I know that they're currently building Shinkansen line from Hakodate to Sapporo, but I was just reading recently that that's likely being delayed until the late 2030s. I think they're estimating for like end of 2038. I know
Wow.
that they were hoping to get that done earlier, but I think they've just been running into various issues to build that stretch of track. So yeah, would love to at some point ride that once that's done, all the way from like Sapporo to like Kagoshima or something. That would be like crazy long
Whoa, let's
Shinkansen trip.
go.
But yeah, let's do it. But yeah, I've like as you were alluding to, I think I've been all the way from Hakodate, rode it under the water there, and then we went all the way down to, for that trip, we stopped along the way. Like Morioka and Sendai and some other cities, and then stopped in Tokyo. And then other trips we've been to, most recently last fall, would have went from Kumamoto and then all the way to
Ooh.
Tokyo, essentially. We're stopping to actually visit you in Hiroshima. So yeah,
Let's
I've
go.
been on other parts of the line as well, but I think it's just so much fun and just a really enjoyable, relaxing, stress-free way of traveling, as opposed to, I guess, the most comparable one would be like flying. When I compare it to flying, I'm like, I don't, the only benefit from flying is, I guess, sometimes it can be a bit cheaper. And depending on where you're going between parts of Japan, it can be a little bit time saving. But other than that, it's like I would rather just choose the Shinkansen most of the time if I could. Are you kind of on the same
Same.
page, Kirk, or?
Yes, 100%. A lot of my friends, non-train loving friends. Oh, yes, we have to have non-train loving friends. They're always like, "Oh my God, the Shinkansen is so expensive. I'm just gonna fly, or I'm gonna take the bus, or you know what I mean?" And I'm just like, "It's not." What I say? Yes, it's not the cheapest, but for the quality that you are getting, and actually, if you calculate, getting from the airport into the center of the city, all of that, like the baggage restrictions, the security stuff related to flying, the environmental impact. I like to hit them with that one as well. The Shinkansen
Nice.
is more viable. Like when I get off the train in Tokyo, I'm at Tokyo Station. There's nothing else I have to do. But if I get off at Narita or what's the other airport in Tokyo?
Haneda.
Haneda. You know what I mean? I still have to kind of make my way, air quotes, to my destination, which is gonna be in some cases another 30 minutes, hour, 2 hours, depending on where in the Tokyo area you're going. But like if I get off at Shinagawa off the Shinkansen or Tokyo or wherever I am, like I'm like right there already. And it's just I can have bigger bags, I have more space, you know what I mean? It's just I can look out the window and actually see things. It's a far more engaged experience, or I can just choose to sleep. You know what I mean? Which I almost never do. Who does that? Everyone should stay awake while riding the Shinkansen. That's a new rule.
Yes,
But
100%. I agree. And I mean, even the space that you get on the Shinkansen, even in the regular cars, like I've never even bothered to sit in the green cars. For those that don't know, the green cars are like your upgraded, somewhat pseudo first class cars, I guess.
yeah,
But
I
the
think
amount of
there's a level
space that
above
you
green
get.
cars on some Shinkansen as well.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
Yeah. What
But
you were
yeah, even the
saying?
amount of the leg room that you get just by in the regular cars is so much better than what you're going to get as like a regular seat in a plane. So it's just comfort level. You're already excelling. Like you said, you're getting out in the main spots of the city that you want to get to, and there's less hassle. Like you said, there's more room for baggage. I guess one thing to note, if you are interested in Shinkansen and you have lots of bags, there's special seats that you can, or that you pretty much need to reserve if you have a lot of bags or big bags that don't fit in the overhead compartments that you'll need to book. But I know Kirk has mentioned that before, and I have a pretty big article on my blog as well that I wrote earlier this year talking about that and kind of comparing cost and time against Shinkansen and flights. And I think, yeah, generally it's kind of worth it. And as we've been alluding to, like your time is money too, right? Like spending an extra 2, 3 hours
Definitely.
getting to where you need to go is time that you could be doing enjoying other things as part of your trip in Japan, especially if you only have, 2 or 3 weeks at your disposable, at your dispose. I guess I'm using that word very correctly right now, but you know what I mean.
Disposal? Do you
At your
even speak English,
disposal. There
bro?
you go. I could speak English. There we go. Thank you, Sensei. But yeah, that time adds up, right? So anytime you can just get to where you need to go and start enjoying things right away, then I think it's better for you if you can afford it too, right? Like sometimes we are limited with funds, and I know I've been there, Kirk's been there, we've all been there, and sometimes that's just where the decision needs to be made, is like whatever costs the least amount, that's what we got to do, and that's
Yeah,
fine too.
definitely.
But I think, sometimes you can, if you can splurge a little bit, I would always recommend Shinkansen at least once in your trip, just to get a sense of it and just to get that experience under your belt and go like, okay, I've been there, I know what it's like, I can see why people, really appreciate it. And yeah, and of course that's why we're chatting about it today.
Yeah. And to add to what you were saying about like the prices and stuff, you know, it's understandable. It also depends on what you're traveling for. You know, like sometimes as you said, it's you're taking a trip to Japan, and you have limited time, or you're traveling for business, or you're a broke student like me trying to travel as cheaply as possible. So like I think in the future, as we were discussing before starting recording, we should probably have another episode where we compare the different modes of transportation, because that's a very good thing about Japan, where you have so many layers and so many options when it comes to travel, depending on your time and budget and comfort needs. You can take the night bus from Hiroshima to Tokyo. I've done that. You can fly from Hiroshima to Tokyo. I've done that. You can take the Shinkansen from Hiroshima to Tokyo. I've done that. Or you can take the slower trains and stop at different spots, with the final stop being at Tokyo. So there's like so many options depending on what your goal is. Some people, like me, I can be like, I don't mind taking the Shinkansen. It's a little bit more expensive, but I don't, for example, if I have an unreserved ticket or even a reserved ticket, I don't have to catch a flight or a bus at a particular time. You know what I mean? Like my ticket is valid for the day and I can travel at the Shinkansen at any time I want, versus part of my anxiety. I guess this is trivial. It's like when I'm traveling via plane, if I miss that plane, you know what I mean? That's it. But there's like a Shinkansen every 20 minutes in some places. You know what I mean? So like you can go at an easier pace, be more relaxed, again, depending on what your purpose of travel and time is and what you enjoy, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, Japan's got options for everyone, which is really, I guess, beneficial for all. Any traveler, any visitor, any person that lives there can find something that will get them around the country based on their budget or preference or time. So it's, I love that about Japan. It's friendly in all aspects of transportation. So yeah, keep improving Japan. I know you're always striving to do new things in the train world for sure, but everything else, you know, just keep researching and finding the next big thing that we can use to get around, maybe teleporters or tubes or something.
Yes, let's go
But
teleporters. I volunteer to test it.
yeah, you
I'll be the
volunteer. Okay,
teleporter
I
guinea
hope.
pig.
Please don't splat Kirk on any walls, please. We want him to come out of this alive.
But you
Yeah,
also
one.
mentioned that your son has been
Yeah.
very excited about the Shinkansen too. We are assimilating him into the train geek horde. How is that going?
We are. So last trip when I was there in the fall, we went to used bookstores quite a bit. So like book offs were pretty easy for us to find and other bookstores. We would just go to the child, like the kids area, and see what we could find. And I can't remember which book off we found, but I found this book. It was called Shinkansen no Tabi, Hayabusa Nozomi Sakura de Nihon Jodan. So that essentially translates to like a Shinkansen trip through the Hayabusa Nozomi Sakura Shinkansens in like a cross country Japan. So I just kind of randomly picked it up because it wasn't very thick. It was a light book. So in terms of like putting in my bag and whatnot, it wouldn't have taken up much space or weight. And it was like cheap. It was like, I don't know, $3 to buy this book used. And as I was flipping through it, it kind of looks like each page flips up or flips open for a full spread. So when you're looking at page one and two, it combines to create one visual. And it's
Of the
mostly just,
Shinkansen.
yeah, the Shinkansen trip. So it's like a part of the map of Japan, and it shows the different cities and different trains, and not even just the Shinkansen line, but it shows other train lines and where the train would stop. And essentially it's got a story woven into it on the very first page. So I guess page one, it's about Haruka and her dad. They're going on spring vacation to go visit their grandparents who live in Kagoshima. And this book is a little bit older, so it's from 2011. So at the time, Aomori is the final stop on the Shinkansen list, as opposed to now, where that's in Hakodate. So they essentially are riding the train in 2011 from the very beginning of the line, or I guess you could say the end, all the way to Kagoshima. And so that's why they're riding the Hayabusa. So they ride the Hayabusa Shinkansen all the way to Tokyo. And then in Tokyo, they ride the Nozomi all the way to, I think it's Osaka. And then in Osaka, they transfer and then take the Sakura all the way down to Kagoshima. And so I bought this book mainly for me at the time, because Kai was still like just over 1 year old. So he was like, we're still into board books. I mean, we're still reading board books now, but it was paper-based. So, you know, thinner pages. And at the time, he would just see a piece of paper and start ripping it. So I wasn't really letting him read it. I was very careful about this book, because I was like, this seems like a very precious book to me, and I want to kind of wait for the right time to introduce it to him. So I did review it with him when he was really young, like last year. But when he's that young, he wasn't that interested. And it was because the pictures are quite small and the trains are small, it's really hard for him to like grasp and kind of understand what was going on. But recently I kind of just brought it back, because I was like, I really love this book, and I guess I'm trying to sort of get him interested,
assimilating him yeah, into the train geek horde.
Essentially, I need someone to geek out with. So I brought it back, and he actually took a fond liking to it, where I would leave the book, just we have like a little rotating bookshelf, and I would see him sometimes sitting on the couch by himself, and he was like flipping through the pages. I was like, oh, ooh, this is cool. And a long time ago as well, we had borrowed a Shinkansen book from the library. Luckily, our library has like a small selection of Japanese books. And this one was bigger pictures, and it was a board book, like very friendly for him. And I would try to read it to him, and this was like months ago, and he just had no interest. He's like, this is boring. What is this? Like, get this away. Like, because it's real life pictures. It wasn't like, you know, drawn. Yeah. Drawn pictures,
illustrated stuff,
yeah, illustrated books. And so I think he was like, real life, like, what is this? I'm used to seeing illustrations in my books, not real life pictures. And so he wasn't interested, and so we borrowed that book again, and he's just been like in love with Shinkansen. And we don't watch a lot of videos, but I'll throw in some videos once in a while. So because he started liking that book again, I was like, okay, well, I need him to watch a show or something for 10 minutes, because I need to do something, and I don't want him running around or getting into things. So I just thought, okay, well, I'll try there's a lot of Japanese YouTubers that will just go to stations or in the countryside, and they'll just film the Shinkansen as they, you know, zoom by. And I thought, okay, well, this is like, you know, not high stimulation. It's real life. It's not, you know, it's not nature, but it's very like, I don't know, pleasant. There's not a lot of like bad things he could pick up from it, because it's just trains going by this on the screen. So I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. I'll let him watch it, see what he does with it. Maybe he'll get bored and not want anything to do with it. But he watched it, and he was just like so captivated. And ever since, nice. I don't know, that was like a couple of weeks ago, we've started memorizing trains now. He has favorite trains. He can say various train names now when he sees them on TV. He really has taken like a liking, and I know it's a famous one. It's Dr. Yellow.
Let's go.
So yeah.
Which, if I may interject, the Dr. Yellow is about to be retired. I don't know if you heard or saw the
story. Yeah. I did. I've been watching so many Shinkansen videos. I seen one where they had like, it was almost like a helicopter following Dr. Yellow, because it was like, yeah, that one's last journey. And it felt like you were watching a marathon or a bike race. And they were like play by playing the Dr. Yellow as it was hitting the stations and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is sad. Everyone was saying goodbye. Yeah,
these types of things you'd only see in Japan. You know what I mean? Like, Dr. Yellow has inspired, I would say, multiple generations of Japanese, I say Japanese train lovers. You know what I mean? And it's the way the tracks were kind of checked and maintained, and you know, like it's almost like a character within itself, even though it's a non-living thing. It's like, you know,
Exactly.
Dr. Yellow, you know, and the fact that it's leaving, like a whole generation or the next generation of train lovers will just have to be able to see it in books and stuff, as you, or videos, as you've described. So yeah, it's little quirks like this that make this type of densha otaku, or train geek culture in Japan, quite unique, because you almost get attached. Like I described earlier, my attachment to the Narita Express because of my air quotes personal experience with it as the first train I rode when I arrived in Japan. You know, like there are different people with different train lines and different train designs and interiors and all types of what I say, how the trains look inside and out, the different technology within it. Some people just like the aesthetics. There's just like so many layers to this densha otaku thing. It's not just thick lensed geeks fighting over the best photography spots. You know what I mean? Some people like different aspects. Some people are casual, while some people can name all the freaking electronic parts in that makes up a Shinkansen, you know?
Yeah,
But yeah,
they
it's cool
become
that
like,
Kai is. Go ahead.
oh yeah, it's just like kind of building off the character, like not even just Dr. Yellow. I feel like every train, because they're so unique, even just from like, it might even be the same model, but it might have a different paint aesthetic and even seat orientation or an interior design. Like every train's got like a different character to it. And I even found a YouTube channel that has taken those different trains and made characters out of them, not so much like Thomas the Train, but like they're just animated for children to give them like personality. And I think that's how like kids get attached to these trains, because they see like, you know, this train has this, you know, personality, and that's kind of like me. So they kind of see themselves in this train, and then, you know, they get to ride that train, and then that train becomes their favorite, and it just kind of escalates, and it's kind of really, really cool and unique to Japan in that way. And yeah, so my son and I have just been like, I've been watching so many of these videos, even on my own time, and I'm trying to like go through all, I've rented another book from the library, which has more of the, it's got regular densha and then Shinkansen and even other different like Roman densha, which is like the tram cars. And it's just cool to see, and just interesting to see which ones he points out, which one he's finds affinity to. But when the as you mentioned, the Narita Express, I've told him like, that's your favorite train, and now when he goes to that page, he immediately points to the Narita Express, because he knows that
Let's
one has like
go.
some a significance to it, right? And it took me a long time to get on that train, but last year we actually took that train back to Narita, and I was like, why haven't I taken this train before?
It's so good, man.
So
It's
good. What was I
the
waiting for? Oh my goodness.
best. And it's like
But
customized because it's a train. It's a, what do you say, airport train. So like the seating, the baggage space, like it's not just any train slapped onto that particular line. You know what I mean? It's specialized. They know that most of the people who are taking this train will have a bunch of bags and strollers and stuff. So it's like, I don't know, man. I love Narita Express so much.
I think my son's favorite train, I was asking him yesterday what is, or actually even today, what his top three were. So I thought his top three would have been a little bit different. So currently his rank is number one, Dr. Yellow; number
Of
two,
course, the color.
East Eye. East Eye, if you're not familiar, it's kind of like a Dr. Yellow type train, but it's more used on like the northern tracks, but similar
Hokkaido.
in terms of, yeah, I think it's more like Tohoku. The
Tohoku.
I stands for three things. I just had to look at that up on the Wikipedia, but it stands for intelligent, integrated, and inspection. But essentially, yeah, it's like a not as popular or as famous Dr. Yellow, but it's really, really similar. And so he caught on that one really right away, like for, and he's able to say it. So I think that's another reason why he likes it. I thought number three was going to be the Tsubasa, but it ended up being Hayabusa. I think he likes the Hayabusa just a little bit more. So number four is the Tsubasa, which the he likes kind of like the silver with green stripe variant of the Tsubasa Shinkansen. So that's his top four right now. But he just, yeah, we're just having lots of fun. I even went out of my way to buy a whole bunch of books from Japan from a used bookstore, and they're currently in the mail on their way here to Canada. So I can't wait to just dive into those books with him. So I think, I don't know how long he'll be interested for. Hopefully this continues for a while, but at least right now we can just have fun with it together. And I'm learning more. I feel like as much as I liked the Shinkansen and just changing trains in general in Japan, I feel like I was just at the surface level. Like I can go a lot deeper.
Exactly.
So I think, I don't know how deep I'll get, but right now I'm just like, yeah, let's learn as much as we can. And it's very, very cool to learn about the history and just what they're for. And like, as you mentioned, Dr. Yellow is going away, and it's like, well, what is it being replaced by? Is we're going to get like a Dr. Red or something? But essentially they're putting that gear, a lot of the technology on the passenger trains. So they won't need to run a separate train
to get to check the stuff.
To do all that diagnostic stuff. This passenger trains will do it more often as well. So I hope, I was reading that I think there's another Dr. Yellow or on a different part of the line that's supposed to be decommissioned sometime in 2027. So I know seeing a Dr. Yellow and a East Eye is kind of like a rare occurrence. So if you do see one in real life, you're supposed to have like, that's a lucky day for you and you should go buy a lottery ticket or something. I haven't seen a Dr. Yellow in person. I haven't seen an East Eye in person, but I would love to see
them. I've seen a Dr. Yellow in person.
Oh man. Did anything lucky happen to you on that day? Did you do anything? Did something miraculous happen?
You never know. Maybe I had lucky things that I didn't even realize and was blessed by Dr. Yellow. But the East Eye, actually, I just Googled it while you were talking. It's the I've seen the design, but I didn't know what its name. I think connecting to your son, I think the colors are what pops out to him. I've noticed that it's like the yellow one, the red one, and the green one that he really, really likes, which is so unsurprising for you know, toddlers at that stage. But it's like, as you said, there are so many levels to this train thing. You know, it can just be you wanting to ride on different ones, wanting to collect toys, or having the experience of being on the Shinkansen. So there's just so much layers to the fandom, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It might seem like, oh my God, it's just a train, but these trains have history and character, and it's like, I don't know, how can I say, sports players? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I think
just like this podcast, we're just scratching the surface of what we could possibly dive into later on.
we should definitely have more episodes where we talk about trains. I want to expand more, as I said, on the benefits or the pros and cons, not just of the Shinkansen, but of the different ways to traverse Japan. Pros and cons of the airplane, night bus, and the Shinkansen would be a good episode idea. So let's do that in the future after we wrap this one up. Is there anything you want to share on the way out?
Yeah, I just want to say, if you get a chance and the Shinkansen fits into your travel plans, or even just any train in general, wherever you are in the world, if you can take a train and you, especially if you haven't been on a train before or really been on a train in a country, in a place that has like developed their train lines in such a way that, you know, where I come from hasn't been. So it's nice to go somewhere where it's has been developed. So if you're kind of like me and you're going to Europe or Asia or other places around the world that have such developed train lines, just, I would just encourage you to to try train anyone and just enjoy the journey and just see what it's like and just relax and just have fun with it. And yeah, we hope to share more about just transportation in Japan in general and geek out about other train stuff in the future. So thanks for listening today, everyone. Yep. And if you see a Dr. Yellow in the future, you know, go buy that lottery ticket.
Let's go. And we would like to accept 33.3% of all winnings for recommending that lottery ticket purchase. You should have read the fine print before you listen to this podcast. But yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We had a lot of fun recording this episode for you. Episode 9 of the Bon Bon Show is now over. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, everyone. Mata ne.